These were not, these were just, Chuck forgot that one. This was just made.
All right, we are back in our rotation with our department heads for our meeting, and we have, okay, is Assistant Chief, Deputy Chief? We got Matt Holmes there.
Assistant.
So Harold mentioned in his report the walkthrough we had last Friday with the gentleman from KCS. I guess, why don't you, if you want to summarize for Barbara and Trudy and Dawn.
Well, we talked basically with them much the same like we talked with the two from Mullen Wheatman about kind of coming up with maybe a little bit of a plan, short-term and long-term plans, what our immediate needs were for the individualized bedrooms and this potential office space, but then to look at what other aspects we could do in the growth for the department and some other changes that were needed. So things like in the apparatus bay with the separate gear storage, down the road for us looking at the exhaust system and what we could do for changes, heating and cooling on the apparatus base, as well as the building itself. So we kind of just went through and talked with them to come up with some ideas as far as some of the, you know, and their initial thought about was, you know, which way is the addition going to go? And I said, I don't know that that's in the short-term plans, but I mean, I think the only way that we have for the addition to go is, you know, forward to the west, basically on that side, with the underground utilities and everything. We have a little space to the back. And then talked about the adding the bathrooms back there for the park area, as well as the potential of them looking at that prefab building like they used out at the Keenan Park. So from that, they're supposed to be working on some concepts.
I sent Tony the plans. Kent Buehrer brought in a flash drive with the PDF of the plans on it. So I sent those to Tony. He sent me an email and said he would set up an appointment to come in and talk to Matt and I later this week or next week.
Yeah, they basically wanted to know if they could get the plans and then pretty much kind of just draw them out there and move stuff around on there and see what they could do as far as, you know, adding the bedrooms into the spaces, but limiting the amount of what we moved around, so like not completely moving a bathroom and showers and stuff, and if there was a way for us to work within some of the footprint of the building without making major changes. So
can you go out?
I think the only space that we have to go out would be out the front of the building, yeah. So to the west, pushing that out because of the, I mean, there's some space to the back, but it would take relocating some of the things like the HVAC and different things there. But then we also have, like, the kitchen has a grease trap drain out there. The apparatus bays have that oil separator that's in the back there. So those would be kind of major issues as far as moving those things. We talked about the adding things into it. Like, one of the thoughts that we had long ago was when we were able to go to a new exhaust removal system in the bays, that we could get rid of that big fan back there, and that would give us space to build potentially another mezzanine area for storage and or would allow for like an enclosed room for the gear on the main level. And then we had talked about in the mezzanine area maybe making that the workout area. His question though was with the tube heating, you know, what would that disrupt? So the floor has the tube heating in it. If we looked at an alternative heating system out there, more like the radiant type heaters that are elevated, and we could abandon the boilers and the tube heating for the floor, and then because obviously they would need a foundation to put in, you know, a mezzanine. because the apparatus bay building's pretty much just pole barn. So you've got the wires and the big posts that they would have to try to work around, and it's not like you could just add a second floor in there very easily. So just kicked around some ideas like that, and from waiting to see back from them what some of their suggestions are, and then to move you know, what we could around on the opposite, on the crew quarters areas and that. But hopefully they're successful with coming up with some cost ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Harold or Megan, I mean, I took some positives away that they were encouraged by the available space in the meeting room over there,
yes,
and also with the plumbing that was everywhere. So
right,
there's bathroom in the front, there's showers in the back, so they wouldn't have to be bringing new plumbing in.
Right.
So that they were encouraged by the availability. It's not like they're running new stuff out. And then one other thing that I think Matt and Harold and I talked about, that if a separate, I'll call it a locker room, is built, which is, what's the first bay down? Is that bay one or is that bay four?
Bay one would be all the way
okay,
next to the baseball field.
So if a locker room for all the turnout gear is built in the back of that, you know, the boat storage, it would go away, you know. One thing, and Matt thought about this for a training opportunity, that basically we could build a two-car garage,
right,
out back, store the, what's that old truck called?
The Ward.
The Ward truck out there, put the boat there, but also use that two-car garage for training purposes. On, they're not trained, they're training on regular-sized houses and ladders and things like that versus up on here that... And that, you know, we, Harold and I ever talked about, you know, that's something you can buy, I would say a kit from 84 Lumber, but
and
I know
prefab, yeah,
prefab two-car garage, and you know, maybe there's an opportunity to explore even with, like, the Penna Group from Anthony Wayne to build it. We just have to, you know, pour the pad, and Harold didn't think that would be a problem if we went down that route to then even get our contract.
Could we take the, you're just like the parade truck or the older truck in there? We're also talking about, in addition onto the maintenance building, that truck probably doesn't leave, what, six times a year?
It currently has got a pretty good sized oil leak on it, so it hasn't been run in quite some time.
So it's taking up value of space in the fire bays. So we're putting onto maintenance. Is there any way to move that? Because it's just...
Storing it.
Yeah, store it over
we,
into
we
the...
We pretty much need all the space that we're... If we move forward with maintenance,
with
we
maintenance
pretty much need all that space too.
A storage unit costs $60 a month.
I'm talking about moving the fire truck into a storage unit.
Yeah.
$60.
No, sorry. I thought you were suggesting moving the fire truck to the maintenance.
I was.
With
the addition.
Okay.
Because we're
and
talking.
He's saying
about
it's all spoken for, and I'm saying there are plenty of other options to move that truck somewhere.
$60 a month.
I kind of agree with Chuck. I think building a garage.
Well, absolutely, and it could be a four-car garage. It could be whatever we can fit out there.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I'm just saying there are other options as well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that would certainly make good space for that to be moved into as well, so that the Bay Area could be reserved for the apparatus. We're looking at you know, cutting back a little bit where we had started talk about eliminating the water tender. With us probably 95 to 98% hydrogen, we don't typically need it for our area for a response, so it's basically just part of our mutual aid response, the tender task force. And it's a 1991, so vehicle standards have improved. It's obviously not unsafe, but, you know, there are better options as far as the vehicle safety with it. We don't technically need it, so we're looking at phasing that piece of apparatus out. We would still be a part of the tender task force responses, because with the tender task force, it's about getting the water plus an engine to fill the tenders in the areas that don't have hydrants. So departments are part of that don't have a tender. They basically supply the fill station or the fill site engine for it. So we would just have to have everybody who has our tender adjust their plans accordingly to replace our vehicle, as well as us replace our role in the tender task force to supply the fill station engine or the fill site engine. So
more building space. Mm-hmm.
Do we know? I mean, just curious. I never really thought of that. How much of the township does not have hydrant service?
Off the top of my head, I can tell you that it's like mainly out to the southwest area, Salisbury, Wickerly, some of those areas over there. And then, I mean, we have certain areas like the Chateau Estates Mobile Home Park. They don't have a hydrant system with them. Within them, there's a hydrant out on Airport Highway across the road, as well as one down on Garden, like closer to Schaefer or something here, over there. So there's some areas where we still have some of that, but it's a very small portion of our township that's left on the hydrant. I mean, obviously, with us, the township being the next area or one of the only areas left to grow in Lucas County, a lot of, you know, even the places that are farm field only have gotten water lines put in because that's obviously the next area for growth. So, but I'm sure we're down to probably, you know, less than 5% of our area that's covered.
I mean, area versus population, too, yeah. I mean, if
right.
it's, you know, yeah. 5 square miles, but only couple hundred people, yeah. I mean, some of it, like, so the farm fields and things like that.
Yeah, and with us not having one, we would still have the ability to have as part of our response plan that it would be automatic to generate the tender task force response. So we would get the water tenders coming to you. The tender task force plan basically just helps to guarantee that you're getting, you know, a large volume of water headed your direction in case what turns into a working fire, so that you have that without having to worry about it. And then that they pull resources from other parts, not just their surrounding communities, but, you know, we had Perrysburg Township, I think Swanton, down into Grand Rapids as part of our response, so that you don't deplete your neighboring areas when you're doing that. So that was all part of the state system that was set up with that. So we'll be moving forward with that. We just need to make sure that everybody adjusts their plans so that they take us out of their rotation before we can actually take
Great.
That.
And I'm assuming we have to do it.
Yeah, we'll have
to
make
meeting.
Notification
right.
to them, and then we can just
and then we have more space. It sounds like you're making progress down this route, Chuck. So,
well, we're just trying
just
to get some numbers, and you know, the $64,000 question is, you know, when the trustees at that time, you know, did this addition, you know, and this is, we don't know if we move ahead with the remodeling of that end and, you know, build a storage garage out back, you know, is this going to be good for 10 years? Is it going to be good for 20 years? Is it going to be good for 30? We don't know. I mean, the growth that we've experienced, I mean, nobody got that crystal ball.
Yeah, and that's part of our thought process as well, is that looking at, you know, potentially the need for some strategic plan for the fire department, because as we move forward over the next 5 to 10 years, I mean, we're getting close to almost 200 calls a month. We're just about at that threshold. So we're going to be up near the 2,000 mark soon on runs for annual. And then with the extra added growth that's coming in, and as some of the undeveloped land gets developed, we need to know, you know, where's the best place for the station, or when do we need that second station? And then when we need that second station, then does it make sense to still have this station here, or do we need to separate the stations a little bit so that geographically they can cover different things? So some of that in the strategic planning and, you know, long-term planning for the fire department would be, is something that we need to look at.
Just throwing this out here, because I know we got Keener Park over here. Just saying, in the future, 10 years down the road, maybe this ball field is going to be moved over to one of the other parks, and that leaves the ball field for expansion for the administration buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's all part of like the long-term and strategic planning that we do to get involvement, you know, from more people that know those kind of things than, you know, than us. But there could be a point at some time where obviously we're going to need a second station, as well as looking at where the best spot to position that is so that we have overlapping areas and, you know, we're reducing response times to the certain areas or the populated areas.
Okay. I read in your report about Jacob. That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Are there, with the other new and existing full and part-timers, are there training issues that need to be addressed? That's one of the things we addressed last summer is, you know, maybe coming up with a customized individual plan for each firefighter, EMS, EMT on our roster that, you know, how do we get them from here to here? I mean, or A, do they want to get from here to here? You know, and then, you know, where is the best, you know, we want round pegs and round holes. We don't want square
right.
pegs and round holes.
Yeah, part of what we're working on that we presented at that last meeting, that's the special meeting, was one of the steps was the recruit book or recruit orientation and training and stuff. So we're trying to bolster that a little bit up so that when we bring new people on that we can get a little better handle at it, get a little better picture of where they're at. Obviously, we want to look at some things as we increase the number of staff members that we have on, and we have, you know, time where maybe somebody that's less experienced can ride with somebody that's more experienced to build up the confidence and build up their skills before they're on their own free. But it comes with, you know, with all the scheduling issues and everything to try to work some of those details out, but it's definitely a consideration that we have looking forward to and looking at of trying to improve some of that so that.
Have we had any response from our ads?
So far, there's only been two. The one guy that applied for the part-time has also said that he would be interested in a full-time position, and then there was one that just came through with an application. I've got to get a hold of them to get their resume and that. But
firefighters or paramedics or what?
Yes. They were both firefighters and paramedics. So the one, though, said they weren't available until September, so I'm not sure how well that's going to help. But I have not talked with them yet.
We'll meet somebody in September, too, so it'll be fun.
Our goal was to.
If we get the safer grant, we're going to need three more people
right,
in September, yeah.
Keep hiring people.
Do want to look out and see if there's more places that we can post it and get it out there. I know a lot of our current department members were pushing it out through social media and that, so that gets us another route too. And I think, in fact, the second person that applied that came right after some of those firefighters did that. So.
I was looking over the wage charts for different paramedics, for even like part-time paramedics. I see we have overtime, which is fine. We have to have the personnel here for the paramedics. And I know in your report that you listed there was some overtime, which I have no issues with that because we need to have personnel in the fire department. I'm just saying, would a slight, just throwing this out, slight increase for paramedics covering shifts, a bump in the rate? I know we're like third. Springfield, I know we can't touch. They're just out there, but Perrysburg Township, I think they're up around 22, 23. I'm just asking, would it attract any more people to help cover shifts for paramedics?
I mean, the goal would be to try to, I think, get the wages a little bit higher on the part-time side especially, as well as, you know, looking forward to full-time as part of our plan on that recruitment and retention topic that we were talking about. You know, we'd like to have you guys look at the STEP program again and the longevity program that we had presented previously and see how we can, if we can do some of that, as well as, you know, we mentioned the lateral transfer option when we're hiring. And so what a lateral transfer would allow basically somebody to come over from another full-time job to this job without having to repeat a lot of the testing or the different things that they would require for initial, as well as they would bring over, you know, their level of service that they did. So if they had 5 years in, they would start 5 years with us instead of starting at step one. So there's some ideas that we have as far as being able to do that, if we can explore some of that. Obviously, the little bit of difference in the wage between the part-time employee and the full-time employee is something to look at. The full-time employees get the extra added benefits. Mm-hmm. They get the pension system, the health care, the life insurance, those things, but they're doing the same job. So, I mean, is it...
That's the feedback that I've been getting. They're doing the same job. A lot of them say they should be getting the same pay. They're just not getting all the benefits that go with it by doing the same job.
And on the part-time side, they do have some extra added benefits,
right,
with the holiday pay and some, the paid sick leave, the paid mm-hmm. vacation, which you don't often see in a lot of part-time jobs. So, I mean, there are some pluses on their part-time side as well.
How do those other entities that you described what their part-time pay was compared to their full-time pay?
Okay, what do you mean as far as, one more time?
There's some that
you
are...
You said Springfield and yes. Perrysburg specifically.
Oh. There's some that are different and there's some that are the same. I mean,
right.
I know Perrysburg Township was, they had a little difference
between
the full-time and the
right.
part-time.
Couple
Springfield,
dollars.
As far as I know, their part-time and their full-time
are
make
the
same
pay.
Wage.
They just don't have the benefits.
Right.
Yeah, I know Harold had mentioned that the hiring committee is weaned down the chief applicants, but I mean, can you multitask in the full-time applicants? Can you walk and chew gum at the same time, Harold? Maybe run two parallel paths, or if you want to. Thank you. Those full-time applicants, I mean, run a parallel course. I mean, if we have two applicants, I mean, if we.
Sure.
The process at the
yep.
same time.
Yep.
Absolutely. How with you and Scott taking more command roles, how is Scott, how has his inspection activity been?
Well, and I put the monthly report that he had in there. Obviously, there was some drop as you look at what he's been able to do normally, but he's not getting behind on anything. Trying to get out there and get through as much as he can. He was working on the safety township stuff a little bit this month as well. So I think we're still good on balance as far as that goes. We're not seeing anything suffer, and we don't want to see anything suffer on that aspect, because the fire prevention is good for the community. It's good for the fire department. I mean,
right.
if we don't have fire prevention out there doing inspections, then it puts us at a higher risk of having incidents.
What's required by Ohio revised code from an inspection standpoint, or Ohio fire code as far as inspections?
Once a year, once every 2 years.
Is it based on
once every
business
years.
Class?
Type of business, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much by the fire code, there's at least the annual that's done with them, and then obviously you could, your occupancies that you have could. I don't think it actually has a requirement that how many you should do.
It is a requirement that you do one every year, though.
It's usually at least an annual. I know there's been. I don't think it's specifically in there as a statement of a requirement, but that's what makes most sense as far as things. There are some, like say a small business or just a work from home business type thing. I mean, obviously, it could be a little bit less, but those are a short inspection anyway.
So there's no law to this. There's no.
I don't believe so. I would have to research that to give you the 100% answer on that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, and maybe that's. I mean, I'm just like a Churchill's or a restaurant that's got cooking and open flame things like that versus an office building.
Yeah, there's obviously there's some small areas that say it's just a business office would be, but those don't take very long to do,
right.
to go through and do. Those on, and as we, but yeah, I can look for sure and see if there is a mandated requirement. But I'm not familiar with one, but I mean the code books, nice and thick, so to say with 100% certainty.
Yeah. And then our search, or not
search committee or ambulance committee? Is that moving forward at warp speed?
I've got about, I think, 5 or 6 people that expressed interest for it, so we're going to try to get them all together here, or see what we can do to get them all together and get the process started. Obviously, the goal would be to take a look at the state bid contracts as opposed to, you know, doing a competitive bid for it, so like we did with the last time, and then to be able to
live with what you get.
Look at the demo styles where we could maybe add some or move some things around in there, but you're not going to be able to change the outside compartments or anything like that. So it would definitely be the quickest route to get us to something.
And then Medic 91 is. Big temperamental.
No new news on that one. We still have an occasional check engine light issue that comes and goes on it. We experienced a little bit of a problem with one of the roll-up door sensors on there, so the guys over this weekend worked a little bit on that. They got it temporarily fixed, and we're going to order a new sensor for it. The truck needs to go and have some front of the engine kind of dismantled to replace some belts and stuff on it that one for the AC compressor broke off, but they have to kind of take the front part of the engine apart to get at it to change that. So at the same time, they're going to do he provided a quote to basically replace all the other belts before they get to that point. Like to get that one down there done next. And then we do have engine 91 that has some electrical gremlins, intermittent problems or issues that we would need to send down after that. Have not heard anything new on the trip to Pierce for the aerial, but that was supposed to be potentially sometime in July from the salesman the last update we had.
Have you signed any shift officers with who you have at the moment, so you know who is supposed to be the person that's answering, the people have to answer to?
We have not done the shift officer yet. What we're working on was one of the things on the plan that we gave you was to create that acting officer role. So Scott started a little bit of the draft work on that, and I've been working on some of the pay rates or whatever we could look at for that and the requirements that we would want that individual to have. So we're just about finished with that to have reviewed and presented.
So when can we expect that?
Because I think by Labor Day or sooner.
Oh, yeah.
Labor Day.
Definitely.
Or sooner. That's only 60 days from now.
Thanks.
We should be ready within a couple of weeks.
So people know when something's going on that's going to be the person that is in charge of that shift. To me, I think that's very important to have somebody in place as soon as possible. That way you're not going to have any friction of who's in charge and what's going on. I think it could eliminate a lot of
our standing policy beforehand was the most senior firefighter was in charge.
Part-time and full-time, who's ever on the shift?
Correct. Yeah, so that's kind of, no one's designated as a shift leader in the past, but the most senior person was to help, mostly supposed to be the point of contact or the coordinating person. That's who we always would want to sit in, like the officer seat on the fire side, going to the calls or different things like that. So, but what we're trying to do with this acting role would be to change that up and designate who the best person would be for that, not necessarily
the most senior person.
Just because they're the most
senior
person.
It sounds like you're creating a wheel, and I'm sure there are thousands of departments who already have this wheel. Why aren't we just copying and pasting?
We are looking at most of the things that are out there, and it's just, we have the requirements of what it takes to be an officer, and while they're not, the acting officer role would be basically that point of contact person or the person who helps ensure that the work gets done for the day, the reports get completed. They're not doling out disciplines or they're not
Are we talking about officers or are we talking about shift people? Because that's the mistake I made last time about how the officers and you have to have so much shift. I'm talking shift leaders and not exactly officers, because that's where I got kind of hung up a couple meetings ago.
So,
that
so
we're
whatever,
not looking at officers. We're just looking at shift
right.
personnel. Who is the person in charge on a shift?
Typically what a department has is the department has a shift officer. When they don't have a captain, lieutenant, or something in that position, they often create what's called an acting officer role.
Okay.
So a person who would be a firefighter would be assigned as the acting officer for that shift. And then that allows them to be the point of contact,
right.
kind of supervise the shift, make sure the
right.
paperwork gets done, the trainings get done, be the point person to interact with the dispatchers, the community, the public, and to help, you know, start the initial incident command on scene until an officer is there. And then we transfer to them. So it's not an officer, but
right.
it's the
leader. It's
right.
a leader going on. So
it's
have
called,
no leaders.
It's typically called acting officer.
Okay.
Or when most departments have that as well, where you have an extra stipend that you get for acting out of your class. So at the class of the, you know, the officer level, if a firefighter acts up there.
Our partners in White House, Waterville, and Waterville Township sent us lots of information related to their policies and procedures. I'm sure this is clearly written in there. And then you paste it over there.
I just think that should be the main goal at this point, is to make sure that you have somebody in place whose
right.
people are going to be answering to.
Well, there's a lot of main goals. I mean,
I know, but
staffing
what I'm saying,
is one of the main goals of working on making sure that we're at least hitting our minimums, trying to get us the ALS all the time. And, you know, there's all of that stuff
yeah.
that's on the list. We
right.
kind of prioritize what we wanted to put forward first as the priorities and working on those. But simultaneously, all the stuff's getting worked on. It's just we're trying to check all the boxes and get things done in a timely manner so that we can get all of that in place.
It is a very high priority.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So you think you can bring us, we'll have a recommendation to us by this meeting next month?
I would think that's not an impossible goal. That's more than doable, if not sooner. I mean, like I said, we basically just need to put forward like what requirements we would want that individual to have, come up with whatever stipend they would be getting for that bump in classification, and then just have it out there so that, and then we would be able to start assigning people on there. We can create the position in the scheduling program so that we can, you know, fill it out for all the days ahead. So
I think that needs to be done.
Since I'm just signing two checks to Home Depot and Appliance Center, I'm presuming our appliances are in our order, and we've checked out water, power, all that's sufficient back there, and good
yes.
to go for...
Yes.
Right. So I'm going to go back to one more time, okay. though. Would it help at all to try to get some part-time paramedics in? Because when I look through the list, I highlighted all the paramedics. Three or four of them are no longer available on the fire list that I was looking at. But there's still numerous people that are paramedics that are on the fire list. And if you can give us maybe an updated sheet, how many part-time paramedics are still on our list? I know Andrew Douglas is paramedic. I know Carolyn Heine, I think she just passed. So out of the list, there's like 15 people highlighted paramedics, but I don't know how many are still actually even active, even pull their three shifts a month.
I could certainly get you that information, but yeah, we have... I just looked that up for you for flexible.
Yeah, and I don't remember what the number was.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I'm drawing a blank as to it, but yeah, there's, I would say probably 10 or 12 paramedics that are on our list. We do have a couple of them that haven't been working. Obviously, we posted the opening at the beginning of May for the part-time fire paramedic and or, you know, EMTs, just for part-time in general, and that only has generated the one so far.
Trudy, I don't understand the question. Are you thinking you can recruit more people if you know their names?
No, I just wanted to know if there's 12 paramedics for a month that's on a shift to cover three shifts. I would think there would be more opportunity for the paramedics that are on Monclova's list to actually come in and do a shift. Because
so
when
you
want I
to see more diversity in who we use as a part-timer.
No, well, they're on our list. they're not fulfilling any of the shifts.
Yeah, they're not getting our roster.
Our roster has like 12 paramedics, but they're not getting their shifts.
Yeah, so we've discussed this with them. I think every meeting I've seen, Matt, that we have people that don't meet our standards. Now, either we take them off the list, and then Trudy can't ask this question anymore, or you change our standards, you get them to come in and work.
That's what I was going to say, is that a couple of meetings ago you guys mentioned hearing from the people that we need to lower the standards. So, I mean, that's not having the three shifts as a requirement any longer. As a potential option. So, I mean, that doesn't help either way. Right. But, I mean,
Just saying, if you can go to Springfield and work a paramedic shift for $27 an hour, why would you come to... I'm just saying to Monclova to work for $20. I'm just saying. And nobody...
That's not what you said at all. You said people weren't showing up on the list. Now, if you want to talk about a pay raise, talk about a pay raise.
I have been talking about that today.
Well, do something about it, Trudy.
Okay, so we can bring it to the next meeting.
I have no idea if you can bring it to the next meeting or not. But talking about who's on our list.
You know, I guess that's a bigger picture. How do we get our existing roster list to fill all of our current shifts?
True. That's.
And we just passed a levy. Yeah. We know how much money we have to spend. So if we wanted to pay $50 an hour to our firefighters, we should have passed a different levy.
Yeah, I mean, our goal throughout the whole process was to try to work with those individuals so that we can get them up to compliance, not necessarily to get rid of them.
Right.
But, you know, there has to come a point where they need to make the decision so that we don't have to make the decision that if they can't meet the commitments, that it's time for them to resign.
And I think what we were saying is our commitments are ridiculous in standard, in comparison to our neighbors. Our commitment shouldn't be three. It can be one. It can be whatever. We were open to some flexibility. We didn't say you have to do this or anything like that. Not my memory of it.
We originally had a two-shift requirement. Then we ran into the issue with having more shifts that were open,
having the
weekends. So we added the three-shift requirement with the 3 weekends and a quarter to the part-time people, and that was in 2019, I believe. And that's where we've been at since then. You know, everybody, when we talked about the full-time hiring, they were all worried that they weren't going to get enough hours. I reassured them that there's Kelly days, there's openings, and we're still maintaining the two part-time positions. So even with the regular shifts, people that we put on the regular shift rotation, we still have the need for different things. It's just complex for the part-time person who, say, works full-time in Sylvania Township. You know, they work a 24-hour shift on this day, so they're not available right after their shift because in case they're busy, so they can work the following night or maybe the next day, but
and we might not have an opening then.
And some of them don't want regular, so they want that sign up option, and some of them want the regular shift, so we're filling that. I just took a request from one of the part-time guys to add to a regular shift. He wasn't a paramedic, but fulfilling one of the shift spots is always a benefit for us, because then that gives a little more targeted approach to the other people who are just on the sign-up side or the contingent side, so that they know ahead of time what days are there, and maybe they can make those work to help us. Because going through the schedule, you know, we'll get, you know, 7 or 8 people sign up for 5 spots for the day. You know, so automatically somebody's going to be left out and not able to do that. If they only submitted 3 shifts, then they're not going to meet their 3-shift thing. So
I'm out to help you as much as possible, Matt. So I'm not out to say get people off the roster. I'm out to try to help Matt take
that's
some
what I started.
Off
that's what head. I started. Are you going to recruit people? Like, I didn't understand the point.
Yeah. How do we?
And we got
we
to
wanna,
what the
we
point.
We want to fill all of
Matt.
Our shifts either by getting our existing roster to fill more, take more shifts, or getting more bodies. Right. Yeah.
So I'm out to help Matt whatever I can to make sure he can get the personnel that he needs. Okay.
Just. I think we've got 2 minutes here. You wanted to add the JED agenda under the agenda under old business or new business?
I think it's old business, but I don't know that, Chuck.
We'll put it under new.
Okay.
And we do need an executive session.
Executive session, okay. For real estate transaction?
Yes.
Okay.
For a potential.
Potential, yeah. Okay. JED discussion.
Did you get my email? I was a little late.
residential TIF on 28. Do we want to discuss that? I know on Friday's out here. Do we want to?
I don't know. It's only 5. You leave at 5.
You're working on it. It's under old business, the resident. You're working on it. Okay. Park improvements, we're working on it. The administration, we do
we're
here.
We're working on it.
Yeah. We're making progress.
On it. Everything is moving forward.
We're trying to stay moving forward.
You got a lot on your plate. I mean, I looked, you guys did a great example on that fireman, your goals and things like this. It, you know, starting from the bottom, working and building up, it's very tough. There's a lot of moving parts. I understand that. So anything that you think we could do to try to help you, you know, with the personnel, with the shifts or whatever, my opinion, I am